This is the Quality News Network. President Bush will deliver the State of the Union speech tonight. It will be his second-to-last address while in office and the first with a new Democratic Congress. He is expected to focus on domestic issues and will present ideas on how to reduce America's dependence on foreign oil. The Army General, who is nominated to be the senior commander in Iraq, appeared before the Senate Armed Services Committee today for the start of his confirmation hearings. Lieutenant General David Petraeus described the situation in Iraq as dire and said there would be, quote, tough days ahead. As a second U.S. aircraft carrier group heads to the Persian Gulf, the U.S. Undersecretary of State issued a warning to Iran to back down in its attempts to control the region. The top U.S. diplomat ruled out direct negotiations between Washington and Tehran. In Moscow, officials say they've completed their billion-dollar arms deal with Iran. The missile sale has been criticized by the U.S. and Israel. A private U.S. security company helicopter owned by Blackwater USA was shot down today over a mostly Sunni neighborhood in central Baghdad. The five civilians aboard died, according to a U.S. military official. In Beirut, thousands of Hezbollah supporters brought the city to a halt today as they blocked the streets and highways leading into the capital. There were some clashes reported between Sunni and Christian factions against Hezbollah supporters. Police say three people were killed and 43 others were shot in the confrontations. Ethiopian troops have begun to withdraw from Somalia after helping drive out the Islamic militia. A Somali government official confirmed this and stated they are grateful for the important role the troops played. Thousands of mourners gathered in Istanbul to say farewell to the Turkish-Armenian journalist who was shot to death last week in front of his newspaper's offices. Testimony began in the CIA leak trial of Lewis Scooter Libby, Vice President Dick Cheney's former chief of staff. Today, in his opening statement, Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald alleged that Libby lied and destroyed a note which showed Cheney was involved early in the matter. Libby's defense attorney portrayed him as a sacrificial lamb and scapegoat for White House advisor Karl Rove. Israel's president will likely be charged with rape and abuse of power today by the country's attorney general. He has denied the charges made by four women who worked against him. Outside of a U.S. military base in eastern Afghanistan today, a suicide bomber blew himself up, killing 10 people. You're listening to QNN.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The United Nations draft report indicates that over the past half century, human activities are very likely the main cause of global warming. 600 scientists came up with the conclusion. The FDA may set a higher standard for contraceptives, which must be met before they can go onto the market. The government says that the newer birth control pills seem to be less effective in preventing pregnancy. Texas will spend $3 billion to make the state a world leader in the fight against cancer. The plan will include universities, private companies, and medical schools. The chief executive of the Gap, Paul Pressler, is out of a job as the troubled retailer struggles with declining sales. He will receive a $14 million severance package. Computer maker Dell opened a business center in Malaysia, its first outside of the U.S. It will provide 24-hour engineering and technology support. Within 5 years, Dell expects the center to employ 1,000 workers. Oscar nominations were announced this morning. Dreamgirls earned 8, the most, but was shut out of the Best Picture category. Al Gore's movie about global warming and Inconvenient Truth is nominated for the Best Documentary Feature. Light sweet crude trading at $55.04 a barrel, and near the close of Wall Street today, the Dow is up 53 points at 12,530, the Nasdaq up 1, the S&P 500 up 5. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
This is a top to what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see, the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, 11,
and most of
11,
and amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to
11. 11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Foxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Foxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions of Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox!
All right, everybody, welcome aboard, welcome aboard. Oh, it's something like 7-8 minutes past the hour here on the Head On Radio Network. Welcome to Foxed Up here. John Fox coming to you from Sydney, Australia, and we have heaps and heaps of stuff to do today. And for those of you that tuned in yesterday or caught archives or the replays when they were running, I blew a bit of a cork yesterday at the top of yesterday's show regarding the ban that wasn't a ban on the Australian flag at the Big Day Out Concert Festival. And been some kind of interesting things pop up since. There have been a couple of online polls, and what's been interesting is the public has been about split 50-50 on this thing. And if you missed the show yesterday, the concert festival has requested that people leave their Australian flags at home because last year we had threats of violence after the Cronulla riots and, you know, certain redneck idiots going up to brown people and others saying, you know, kiss the flag or I'll thump you. And, you know, I blew my cork about the fact that, you know, wearing any national flag like a Superman cape actually goes against any of the ethics of handling a national flag. However, there's been a press release from the Big Day Out, and there's links to all this stuff on today's show post, and you can find all this stuff at bigdayout.com. And the press release is interesting. It says, clarification on the flag issue. The Big Day Out would like to offer the following to clarify its position on flag, quote-unquote, flag banning at the Sydney show. Contrary to reports in the media, it was never our intention to disrespect the symbolism of Australia, the Australian flag, or any other flag. We are not banning the Australian flag, but are simply discouraging its use for antisocial purposes at the Big Day Out. We state unequivocally that flags will not be banned at any Australian Big Day Out show in the foreseeable future. In recent times, there has been an increased incidence of flag brandishing. increased incidences of flags brandished aggressively, and this has led to increased tension. Our only intention in discouraging this activity at the Big Day Out is to ensure that our patrons are not subjected to this aggressive behavior. With all this in mind and the aim to create a happy, peaceful musical event, organizers would like to request that fans please leave their flags at home. The Big Day Out is not an Australia Day event, but a musical festival showcasing musical artists from around the world and a spot to unify people through music. Unfortunately, the media reports yesterday were not quoted accurately, and we must thank the participating media for wasting everybody's time, including the Prime Minister John Howard, Premier Morris Iemma, New South Wales RSL President Don Rowe, Kayser Trad, a confidant of the multi-sheik something or other, and Bert Lane of the Australian National Flag Association. And this is very, you know, it was just amazing the xenophobic nonsense that came out of this press release in the media. I still, you know, and my partner Gail was surfing the net on this issue yesterday, and I'm not sure which website it was at, but there was an op-ed piece on this situation, and there was this very long comment thread. And there were many comments stating things similar to this. I'm an Australian that has been living overseas for years, and I recently came home. Boy, has my country changed and become something ugly. I think I'm going to go back overseas. Now, this is paraphrasing and kind of jumbling up many comments, but this is the reality. Racial tensions in New South Wales. Now, this request is only made for the Sydney show because of the issues here. Nowhere else was this even thought of, because we have this amazingly huge population of redneck idiots who still don't understand the fact that white Australia took over this country. The real Australians are the Aboriginals, you know, 40,000 years of history here. And as Jermaine Greer once said, something to the effect of, the original Australians hoped that the newcomers would assimilate, and they didn't. And I'll just leave it at that. But on better Big Day Out news, and I had not realized this until Gail sent me this yesterday, the Big Day Out goes carbon neutral. Now, this is much happier news. This announcement is a little different, as it takes the Big Day Out into new territory, and this is also on the Big Day Out site, one of the press releases. For some time, many of the Big Day Out have been uncomfortable because of the gigantic scale of the show. Churns through resources with too little consideration for the effect on the environment. We feel that we cannot continue a quote business as usual unquote approach anymore. Greenhouse gases are causing irreparable climate change and endangering the future of our civilization. During the course of 2006, we have conducted two audits of our energy usage and are now in a position to understand the greenhouse gas emissions associated with presenting the show. The scope of the work was to determine all of the energy specific associated with putting on the show and take responsibility for them ourselves. In this way, we feel that we will be setting the best example for audience members and others to make decisions about their own impact. We are happy to announce that the Big Day Out will be adopting a carbon neutral emissions footprint for the 2007 show. We have engaged CO2 Australia Limited, an accredited New South Wales greenhouse gas abatement certificate provider, to ensure that the Big Day Out greenhouse gas emissions are mitigated by carbon sequestration using long-term Malay eucalyptus tree plantation. As things currently stand, we have opted for tree plantation because it creates jobs, as sound conservation benefits, reduces soil salinity, and improves farm viability in marginal areas, as well as converting greenhouse gas CO2 to oxygen for us to breathe and hopefully slow down the polar meltdown, amongst other things. It seems that our future welfare is now interdependent like never before, so let's learn to live together and respect our environment and then get back to the party. Viv Lees, and Ken West. And they, as a postscript, they say, thanks to all who assisted in moving this along, including John Butler. And if you, I can't believe I haven't played any John Butler yet on this show. John Butler and BP Solar and many other people, BP Global Choice, the Wilderness Society, CO2 Australia, and many others. And so, you know, I'm liking this because I've had the same concerns having been, you know, a member of the entertainment industry. And I remember when I worked for a theater company up in Northern California, we adopted one for budgetary reasons and two for, I don't know, our own souls. We instituted a policy of recycling set material as much as possible. And sometimes a single sheet of, you know, backdrop wood may have gone through, you know, three or four different productions. And, you know, entertainment, when it comes to the production, can be extremely wasteful. And, you know, it's good to see that something like The Big Day Out, which kind of comes barreling into town, creates a lot of income and a lot of mess over a very, very short period. I would expect that the entertainment industry would take some of the first steps in doing things like this. So hats off to The Big Day Out and the promoters and the organizers for trying to do as much as possible the right thing. So we're going to go and take our first break for the day, and when we come back, we'll do some, you know, more green news and things, and we'll also have our track of the day, and we're going to continue our, 1920s bluesman thing. So stick around. We'll be back after this. Light me up that cigarette, and I'll strap shoes on my feet. Try to find the reason, reason things went wrong.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
We are taking to the streets, sidewalks, paths, and parks across Canada in support of ALS research and to raise money to provide quality care for the thousands of Canadians living with ALS and their families. Please join us
Walk for ALS is a fun, family-friendly event occurring in more than 60 communities across Canada. We are walking because ALS is a devastating disease. The average life expectancy is only 2 to 5 years.
We are walking because every day 2 to 3 Canadians die from ALS.
We are walking to provide hope.
We are walking for those who can't.
Most people with ALS will lose the use of their legs in the first 2 years of the disease. What would you do while you still could? For more information or to register for the Walk for ALS, visit www.als.ca/walkforALS.
Everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And if you've never dropped into the chat room at the Head On Radio Network, I suggest you do. It's a real quick registration process and just dive in the pond. Some of the most fun and intelligent and lively people you will ever come across and never actually see. Let's go straight to the phones. We got our buddy Sarge on line one. G'day, mate.
Hey, how are you doing, John?
I'm doing pretty good. We actually got a gray and rainy day down here, and that's a good thing because the bushfires have been going absolutely mad around here recently, so that's a good thing. What can I do for you, my
our
friend?
Our bushfires have been going mad for about 6 years.
Different kind of bushfire, but right.
No, I knew you'd like that one. I talked to Dennis Kucinich just a few minutes ago. In person.
Oh, right.
Himself.
Oh, wow.
And,
wow. Yeah. What was that like?
Oh, wow. You know, like when he answered, this is Dennis. And I said, is this Congressman Kucinich? Yes, it is. Oh, And I know he thought I was some kind of idiot. Then finally, I gathered my composure and I told him who I was and what I was calling about. And I asked him if he was interested in knowing more about what was going on with Katrina in Louisiana and Mississippi, because I had contacts I'd be more than willing to set him up. And he said, I certainly am. Let's talk.
Excellent.
So,
excellent.
Watch out, folks. Here comes Dennis K.
Hey, man. I reckon out of the whole field that's out there at the moment, it's Dennis Kucinich and John Edwards that I reckon are the two best candidates out there. You know, they're the only ones that I have any kind of trust, you know, regarding. The rest of them I've got issues with. Hillary I can't stand. Barack Obama is... I don't even know how to describe him, but he's not a Democrat. He's got 20 million or something in his war chest already, and it's all corporate money.
Well, see, I can tell you just from my work, because I have talked to God knows how many of these people. I've talked to their staffers and them if I could get to them. And the results so far, Hillary, we'll get back with you on that. Talking about Katrina. We'll get back with you on that. And John Kerry's office, we're really not interested. Obama's office, we don't care.
He's really representing his African American community there now, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, two staffers of his, I called two different times, and both times I got the same answer: we don't care. And that isn't cool, you know, because, look, people have to care about this thing, and it's stupid not to, because your taxpayer money is being funneled into the pockets of wealthy people. American citizens are getting murdered by these rats, and to say, I don't care, is being a murderer, is stealing from the American taxpayer, and it's just plain poor politics.
Oh, and it's just plain wrong, man. You know, I mean, we've done, you know, the government's done virtually nothing to help restore these people's lives. And, you know, it's all the wrong people that are profiting from it. And it's getting nowhere, you know. So, this is why, you know, grassroots efforts are having much more of a positive effect in the area than any of the federal programs. It's absolutely depressing.
Yeah, and you know, a thing that's really, really irks me, and someone can go into this area and really get me angry with them, but they will be divided by these stupid issues. Like, I was in the Hartman chat room a while ago, and I'm moved over to Horn now since it's active, and one guy told me, because he knows I'm agnostic and could care less about the religious aspect of things. I told him, I said, the only reason religion is in politics is because these phony right-wing people who call themselves Christians brought it into the arena. And when they did, that made it fair game. And if you don't want your religion lambasted, then the thing to do is stand up against these people and tell them, hey, don't you speak for us. You know, we believe in what Jesus said, and we're going to stand up and follow his example, not your trash. And yet, the main guy got mad at me. The guy that was arguing with me got mad at me and said, "No, we didn't bring it in."
There's just one retort for anyone that believes that. Religion should be part of politics is to just go back to the founding fathers, you know, separation of church and state for the protection of both.
That's right. And you know, when you put them both together, you hurt both of them. You get no good comes from it. And yet,
absolutely.
This guy actually had the audacity to say, I had to leave because I wanted to call, Dennis Kucinich. And yet this guy actually had the audacity to say, well, we didn't bring it up, and if you believe that, then you're lying. And if you're lying about that, then certainly you must be lying about what's going on in Jackson County. Now, that was the stupidest statement I ever heard in my life.
That's just so wrong, and that's just so misguided. It doesn't even really bear a response.
Well, actually, this is one of the guys that comes into the Horn chat room on occasions too, which is really, you know, of course, he and I have had a round about religion before anyway, but.
Really?
Yeah, you probably know that. But anyway, the thing is, we can't let our determinations be based on one issue. I mean, Katrina is so important to me, but let's face it, Katrina is tied into everything. Iraq is the key thing, though. We've got to deal with Iraq. We got to get our troops out of there. We got to quit spending all this money on this thing, because the money for Iraq that could be building the Mississippi coast, the Louisiana coast, is not there because it's in Iraq. Our troops are in Iraq. The Mississippi Guard's in Iraq. The Louisiana Guard's in Iraq. And their equipment's in there. And so they can't do the work they need to do here. And it's just plain stupid. And we've got to keep everything in its true perspective.
Yeah, absolutely, man, absolutely. And just I'm so like short of patience with people that just want to deny that these issues are real. And you know, I automatically, my brain goes straight to the human factor and try to imagine myself living in one of these, you know, trailer park prison communities that a lot of the residents down there are living in.
Well, you
with,
remember,
you know,
Sarah, that came into the chat room before. Now she's even scared to get on the computer because she's had so much trouble with people that don't want her speaking out. And of course, now she has moved over. As of last Friday, she moved over and went to work for Jim Yancey at Jackson County Community Services Coalition. So that's a good thing. And that's partly
yes, that is a good thing.
That's partly due to us in this work. But, you know, if we're going to make these differences, we've got to quit being stupid about things. If there's a Democrat that says, I don't care about Katrina, then that Democrat don't support the arm of a gun. You know, you don't support it.
You're absolutely right, Sarge. And with that, I gotta take a break. But it's
right.
always good to hear from you. And keep up the fight, man. You're doing wonderful stuff down
well,
there with Yancey and the rest
news.
Of them.
Y'all keep
all right, man.
Unreportednews.net. Thank you. Bye.
No worries, man. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. And yes, unreportednews.net, you can go and check out what you can do to help the mission Jackson County. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and do our track of the day. And some ragtime guitar. It's going to be very fun. So we'll see you on the other side of this break.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Wad Wally and Goofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive. Wednesday night prayer meeting on Head On with Bob Kincaid opens up a whole new realm of spirituality. Touch others. Reach out and touch faith. Join Brother Bob every Wednesday night for prayer meeting services here in the Tabernacle of Common Sense. Only on the Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Shelley, my latest single is called In My Time. It's all about the pressure to drink and how to handle it. Now, I'm not going to preach, but I've made my choice. I'm waiting till I'm 21, and I encourage you to stay safe and wait until the time is right for you. You can download my song and the video for free at www.inmytime.net. That's www.inmytime.net. Listening. This message was brought to you by the Kansas Department of Transportation. Stay safe.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up. It's about 35, 36 past the hour, and To continue on the theme that we launched yesterday with the track of the day, playing the throwback to another time that is C.W. Stone King. And if you missed that yesterday, go to myspace.com/C.W. Stone King, and you can check out some of this young man's music, which is a real throwback to, you know, the best of the Delta blues and Southern blues from the 20s. So we're going to continue on with this, and I'm going to do stuff like this all week long. And we're going to continue with a gentleman by the name of Blind Blake. Now this is one of my favorite of the 20s guitar players. He's a ragtime styly type of guy. And from the Blind Blake Wikipedia, which there's links to all this on today's show post, says Blind Blake, Arthur Blake, somewhere around 1893, Jacksonville, Florida, and died 1933, was an influential blues singer and guitarist. He is often called the King of Ragtime Guitar. There is only one photograph of him in existence, and you can see that photograph on the show post. Blind Blake recorded about 80 tracks for Paramount Records in the late 1920s and early 30s. He was one of the most accomplished guitar players of his genre, with a surprisingly diverse range of material. His complex and intricate finger-picking has inspired Reverend Gary Davis, Jorma Kaukona, Ry Cooder, Ralph McTell, and many others. He is most known for his distinct guitar, comparable in sound and style to ragtime piano. Very little is known about his life. His birthplace was listed as Jacksonville, Florida by Paramount Records, but even that is in dispute. Nothing is known of his death. Even his name is not certain. During recordings, he was asked about his real name, and he answered that his name was Blind Arthur Blake, which is also listed on some of the song credits, strengthening his case on his real name, although there was a suggestion that his real name was Arthur Phelps. Couldn't be a relation to Sarge now. His first recordings were made in 1926, and his records sold well. His first solo record was Early Morning Blues and West Coast Blues on the B-side. Both are considered excellent examples of his style. Blake made his last recordings in 1932, the end of his career, aided by Paramount's bankruptcy. It's often said that his later recordings have much less sparkle, and allegedly Blind Blake was drinking heavily in his later years. It is likely that this led to his early death at only 40 years. The exact circumstances of his death are not known. Reverend Gary Davis said in an interview that he had heard Blake was killed by a streetcar. So, now, you got to remember when you hear this, the track that we're going to play today is a track called No Dough Blues. And, you know, it's, you're going to, you know, you're going to hear the hiss of the wax from the original recording on this. You know, these were front porch type recordings, you know. The record label would go out with the guy with a wax cylinder recorder and basically show up on the guy's doorstep and, you know, record on the front or back porch. As many of these early Delta and ragtime and Southern blues players in the 20s and 30s did their recordings. So you know, if you're a guitar player, you've never heard Blind Blake, you're just gonna love this guy. Seriously, he's one of my favorites. I have tried very hard to pull off a few of his songs myself, and they're very, very, very tricky, and a very interesting style. So with no further ado, we have The Blues by Blind Blake. Hit it, Agnes.
It's a hard, hard time. Good man can't get no dough. It's a hard, hard time. Good man can't get no dough. All I do for my baby don't satisfy her no more. I ain't got no job. Now you gon' put me down. I ain't got no job. Now you gon' put me down. You gon' quit me, baby, for hard work. Life is so hard now. Maybe things will change someday. Life is so hard now. Maybe things will change someday. And when I get a job, maybe you'll change your way. Don't quit me, baby, 'cause I can't find no way to do. Don't quit me, baby, 'cause I can't find no way to do. But all the dirt you done to me, it's coming back home to you. I used to be a joker, now I'm gonna make a change. Used to be a joker, now I'm gonna make a change. I'm gonna get me a job, keep calling your constituents.
There you go, Blind Blake. I think, and I think just for the guitar curious, he was a big fan of open D and open E tunings. You know, just fantastic stuff. And you know, the influence that these kind of players had on modern music, you wouldn't, you know, it's undeniable. You know, we wouldn't have Ry Cooder if it hadn't been for folks like Blind Blake. So there's a great compilation with about 20 of his tracks just called The Very Best of Blind Blake. You can find it probably on, you know, your iTunes account, and if not, just have a bit of a search. You can find it. You can get it. And it's just phenomenal stuff. It's great music to listen to while you're, you know, working around the house, working in the backyard in the sunshine. It's just awesome stuff. So there you go, Blind Arthur Blake. And we're going to take our last break for the afternoon coming up here, and we're going to come back with an interesting story, and this one will be of particular interest to one of our friends over in the Tom Hartman chat room, one of the mods there, Sue. So when we come back, Sue, this one I think will interest you. So we're going to have a little bit of new American pollution and the UK. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back on Foxed Up straight after this.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers, They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
The difference between what I do on my show and what all the right-wing types do on their shows is very simple. I'm not going to lie to you. That doesn't mean you're going to agree with me about everything or that you're going to like hearing everything I have to say, but I will guarantee you that when I say something on my show, I say it because I mean it and I believe it, and I'm not just saying it to get you riled up and to boost my ratings. No potty mouth, no trash talking, no BS, just the straight truth as I see it, because the lies may sound good for a while, but the truth is there forever. It's not always pleasant, it's not always nice, sometimes it's hard to see through all the crap, but it's there. And that's what you're going to get from me, and that's why you should listen to my show. The Cup of Joe Radio Show, Mondays and Fridays from noon to 2 Eastern Standard Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
And rock and roll.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Why does that make me crack up every time you play that, Agnes? I don't know. Just must be my evil mind. All right, folks, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And, you know, we're all connected, eh? On this planet, everything is connected. There is no us and them. It's all connected. And this is a great example of that. And from the Sunday Times on Times Online, U.S. toxic gases push British pollution over safety limit. That's right. The United States spewing is making the Brits sick. Toxic gases blown across the Atlantic from America are pushing British cities over the legal limit for air pollution and damaging people's health, an official study shows. The study by the Natural Environment Research Council suggests that up to 2,000 tons of ozone originating in cities such as Chicago, Detroit, and New York are hitting Britain each day. The American ozone usually boost British levels by 20 to 30%, sometimes rising to 40%, often pushing them beyond the safe limit of 50 parts per billion set by the World Health Organization. Ozone is the most toxic of air pollutants, with even tiny concentrations causing asthma, bronchitis, and other respiratory problems. Scientists blame it for up to 800 of the 200 extra deaths caused by the 2003 heat wave, when ozone levels in Britain soared to more than 90 parts per billion. Successive British governments have tried in vain to cut levels, and the NERC study sought to find reason. Our research shows British pollution control measures are not working because a lot of this pollution is coming from America, said Alistair Lewis, professor of atmospheric chemistry at York University. Washington is already under fire for rejecting efforts to curb carbon dioxide emissions, the main cause of global warming. The findings on ozone emerged from one of the largest atmospheric chemistry experiments ever staged. The National Center for Atmospheric Science, part of NERC, took a leading role with agencies from America and Europe. The results destroyed a basic assumption of atmospheric science. The urban pollutants such as ozone and carbon monoxide do not travel far. In fact, they rise to the upper atmosphere and are blown eastwards at up to 150 miles an hour by the jet stream, with Britain and the first landmasses in the way of pollutants arriving from America. The study to be published this week in the Journal of Geophysical Research found 15 U.S. cities contributing to British pollution, including Boston and Washington, D.C. The researchers calculate that 1,000 tons of carbon monoxide are also swept across the Atlantic towards Britain each day. Each day. That is absolutely frightening. And this is where, you know, we have to get the United States and this little racist island nation that I'm living in, Australia, to sign on to Kyoto. I know it's not the be-all, end-all, but it is a global effort to reduce the emissions. And it's one of these situations where the single largest producer of greenhouse gases, the United States, and the largest producer per capita, Australia, are not part of the agreements, and it is having an effect on other nations. So how do you think the British feel? You know, they've signed on, they're trying to do things, but yet, because the United States still has their head up their arse when it comes to the climate and greenhouse gases, their citizens are dying. Not just sick, but dying. Okay? So, you know, Shrub, the rest of you, pull your head out of your ass. It's really, really simple. Now, before we run out of time, this made me none too happy, and thank you, Gail, for sending this my way. On commondreams.org via the Los Angeles Times, the headline reads, "Lobbyists find new Congress is open for business. Lobbyists who dreaded Democratic control find they are being heard." Incoming House Speaker Nancy Pelosi terrified the oil industry late last year when she outlined her priorities for new Democratic majorities in Congress. Within the first 100 hours, she promised they would roll back multi-billion dollar subsidies for big oil. Last week, however, when Pelosi won House approval of the much-touted bill, socking it to the oil companies, it turned out to be considerably less drastic than many in the industry originally feared. Out of an estimated $32 billion in subsidies and tax breaks that the oil companies are scheduled to receive over the next 5 years, the House bill cut $5.5 billion. It's not just oil. From one end of the House Democrats' first 100 hours agenda to the other, business people and their lobbyists have found success amid fear in dealing with the new Congress. Surprising as it might seem in view of the Democrats' public rhetoric, business groups are getting their telephone calls returned and they're getting plenty of FaceTime with the new House and Senate leaders. Thanks to this access, the oil industry fended off many features it considered most objectionable in the proposed energy bill, and the big pharmaceutical companies had success keeping some out of the new House Medicare drug bill. And while the House was passing its minimum wage bill, small business lobbyists were working the Senate to win tax breaks for their clients in the Senate's version of the bill. There was a lot more anxiety initially because of not knowing what was going to transpire, said Stuart Roy, a member of the prominent Washington lobby shop DCI Group, and once an aide to Tom DeLay. Tom DeLay. And it continues to go on and say that the lobbyists are adapting to the new situation. And so, you know, we got to keep on the Democrats. We have to. We have to. We have to. We have to. You know, all the rhetoric in the world isn't going to get anywhere. Yes, we are making steps in the right direction, but, you know, all this stuff about, you know, no more paid lunches and all this other nonsense from the lobbyists has not translated into what we were hoping. So we got to keep the pressure on. We just have to. And let's see, what else can I squeeze in before we get out of here today? Our news ninja Gene sent me an interesting piece from sciencenews.org, and I'm not going to really read much of the piece because we're running out of time. However, the link is on today's show post, and I would suggest reading it. And it's a discussion about how city planning and urban sprawl helps lead to the obesity of the population. And where one lives in communities where there are varieties of you know, restaurants and you know, entertainment venues and the shopping and everything within walking distance of one another, you know, people walk more. People walk more, and they end up having less personal sprawl. And in cities where it's a sprawling community, you know, people get fat. And so it's a really, really great piece, and I would suggest you read it because city planning is an important issue when it comes to the environment and public health and other things. And so I would suggest going and having a read of that. And a program note for this evening. Coming up after this program, there's going to be a special edition of Head On in honor of the State of the Union Address. And if I'm not mistaken, Agnes has gotten a bunch of past interviews and other things relating with public policy and some other things. Ooh, and it's even going to be hosted by my wonderful producer, Agnes Kincaid. Oh, this will be a treat. So this should be really, really good. I have a feeling we'll be hearing from the likes of Dennis Kucinich and some other fine folks speaking the liberal truth. So stick around for that before you have to go and take your pre-State of the Union medication, whether it's in liquid, pill, or combustible form. And, you know, break the bottle out, mix up the margaritas, because you know you're going to want to throw things at the telly. And with that, we got to bring it to a close today. So, again, thank you to Agnes Kincaid for producing the program. Thanks to Bob for announcing the program. Thanks to Ben Birch for the streaming and the archives. He's still running his fundraiser. Go over there and drop a dime or better, because he never sends a bill. You got to do the right thing. Thank you to Scott Barry at B1 Louder Productions for the music, and I hope you're having a good the big day out today in this gray and rainy day. And thanks to our mods and our bloggers and everybody else and Peter Godbold that make this whole thing happen. And with that, be good, be green, and we will see you tomorrow.
Sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes. Eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions
and laughter, anger, and let's if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush will speak to Congress and the nation this evening from the Capitol. Tonight's State of the Union speech will be his next-to-last address while in office and the first facing a new Democratic Congress. Mr. Bush is expected to focus on domestic issues in the speech, which begins at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. He'll present ideas on how to reduce America's dependence on foreign oil, as well as how to make health care more available and affordable. He wants America to cut gasoline consumption by 20% by the year 2017. The Army General, who was nominated to be the senior commander in Iraq, appeared before the Senate Armed Services Committee today for the start of his confirmation hearings. Lieutenant General David Petraeus described the situation in Iraq as, quote, dire, and said there would be, quote, tough days ahead. A private U.S. security company helicopter owned by Blackwater USA shot down today over a mostly Sunni neighborhood in central Baghdad. The five civilians aboard died, according to a U.S. military official. As a second U.S. aircraft carrier group heads to the Persian Gulf, the U.S. Under Secretary of State for Political Affairs issued a warning to Iran to back down in its attempts to control the region. The top U.S. diplomat ruled out direct negotiations between Washington and Tehran and repeated that Iran must halt its nuclear enrichment program. In Moscow, authorities say they've completed their billion-dollar arms deal with Iran. The missile sale has been criticized by Washington and Israel. Although there are sanctions against Iran as a result of its uranium enrichment program, the sale of conventional weaponry is permitted. In Beirut, thousands of Hezbollah supporters brought the city to a halt today as they blocked the streets and highways leading into the capital. There were some clashes reported between Sunni and Christian factions against Hezbollah supporters. Police say three people were killed and 43 others shot in those confrontations. Oscar nominations were announced this morning. Dream